to local radio. 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
The members of Peace Lutheran Church consider it a privilege to have you share in their service of worship. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. right here on 98.3 FM WCQM. We invite you to tune in again next week at this time. If you wish to sponsor a broadcast in memory of a loved one, please call the church at 715-762-4541. A condensed version of the worship service may be found on the church website at peacetoyou.pctcnet.net. That's peace, the number 2, Y-O-U.pctcnet.net. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you would like to give an offering to God for his ministry, you may on our website
or Facebook. Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to speak responsively with me the introit. Say to my soul, I am your salvation.
And the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears.
The Lord saved him out of all his troubles.
This is God, our God forever and ever.
Give ear, O my people, to my teaching.
Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
I will open my mouth in a parable.
I will utter dark sayings from all
things that have heard and known. We will tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might.
And the wonders that he has done.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. The Lord saved him out of all his troubles.
This is the God, our God forever and ever.
We pray.
O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep from us all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready in both body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish whatever you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us all speak aloud the gradual.
O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
The epistle is from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 22 to 28. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation, please stand as you're able as we sing the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins?" He then to the paralytic said, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
I invite you to speak with me the Nicene Creed, a confession of our Christian faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated as children come forward for a children's message this morning. Nice. Well, thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. I am glad to be seeing all of you, and I'm going to make a promise that when I'm done, I will give you something out of this box. How's that sound? Good. Do you like promises?
Yeah.
Is it even better when the promise has been kept? Yeah. We like to know when people speak to us words that they are going to keep their words, right? Yeah. So it's good for me to make promises that I'm going to keep, right? Yeah. We heard in our Old Testament lesson, God was speaking to Jacob, and he gave Jacob a couple promises. Did God keep his promise to Jacob? Do you think he kept the promise to Jacob? Yeah, he did keep the promise to Jacob. He said, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." So he promised to be with Jacob wherever he went, and he would keep him. Do you think God gives you similar promises? Yeah, God does give you promises. You, in your baptisms, are able to receive promises from God. He promises to forgive you all your sins. Do you think God keeps that promise, that you have forgiveness in baptism? Yeah, he does keep that promise. And what a wonderful promise it is that in baptism, we are forgiven of all of our sins. Do you know another promise? Do you know any other promises that God gives to you and to me? Because there are more promises. Does he promise to give you and me eternal life?
Yes.
He does. For all those that believe, we are promised life everlasting. Will God keep his word? Will he be faithful to his promise?
Yes.
Yeah, God will be faithful to his promise. Just as I intend to be faithful to my promise to you, after we fold our hands and say a prayer with our congregation. We pray, Dear Heavenly Father, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your promises that are always dependable. That are always dependable. Please help me. Please help me. Never doubt your word. Never doubt your word. But always be joyful in it. But always be joyful in it. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, boys and girls, now's the time where I get to be faithful to my promise to you this morning. And our congregation will be continuing and singing our next hymn, 611.
Jesus, share his love for me. By that time, my dream.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is based upon the text from Matthew chapter 9. Have any of you ever heard of somebody who has been misdiagnosed? I'm seeing quite a few hands, and that's kind of what I expected. As good as our doctors, as good as the medical field is, they don't always get it completely right. It's not because of lack of trying, it's just sometimes things are very confusing in this world. And so you've gone in at the symptoms, they are consistent with one disease or illness, and yet there's a treatment plan given, the medication, and you're supposed to go home, and pretty soon you're not seeing or there are no differences and there's no change with the treatment that's been received. So then you kind of go back and you get reassessed, and is this really the problem? More observations, maybe even a different treatment plan. And possibly no results until, hey, let's get a second opinion, see if somebody else can help with this. And then that different doctor may come and having a background that's been different, they see it and all of a sudden they say, you know what? I think it's not what we're looking at originally, but it's actually this. And then you go home with the treatment plan, and lo and behold, things get better. The doctor has found the right treatment. They've hit right on the spot, spot on with the diagnosis. And then life is better. It is better when we have a correct diagnosis for the illnesses that we have. And that's especially true in our gospel lesson today. In Matthew chapter 9, we have Jesus doing what he is typically doing. He's going out there, he's ministering to the people. He's preaching to them repentance from sin, and he's proclaiming good news from God, our Heavenly Father. And so he returns to his own city, and the people, some of them, are bringing to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Jesus has been able to heal others, and so they know he has this power, that he's able to help this man. They believe that he will be able to cure him from what ails him. And you look at a man who's paralyzed and who's a paralytic that needs to be carried on his bed, and, well, what needs to be fixed? Well, he needs to be able to walk is probably what everybody would be thinking, right? The problem is he can't walk, and so you make him able to walk, and that will really improve and fix his life. And yet Jesus, he does something a little different that the people, they look at it and some of them are saying, I think he's misdiagnosed the problem. Beyond that, well, he's speaking words that he shouldn't. For when the man comes in, it says, Jesus saw their faith, and he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. We brought you a man who's paralyzed to be healed so that he can walk, and you tell him, your sins are forgiven. Is this the right treatment? Really? He can't walk, and you tell him his sins are forgiven. kind of might scratch our heads as we see how Jesus responds to the faith that they have in him. And yet, Jesus does this for quite an important reason. You and I, we want to be able to trust the words that Jesus speaks to us, the words that have been recorded in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We want to know that his words will be effective for us in our lives. And to that degree, Jesus has helped us today be certain about his words. And quite honestly, it's not a misdiagnosis that Jesus has for this individual, because every child born is born tainted with sin. It's been the case since Adam and Eve's first children were born. All of us have this sinful condition, and none of us are able to be rid of it on our own or by ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to eliminate what we have inherited. And it certainly is a problem to be tainted with sin. For sin, as we see, it angers God, it brings his wrath, it brings upon us judgment. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. God saw the sins of the world. He lamented that he had made humanity, so he sent a flood upon the world, where all, except for Noah and his family, were saved in the ark. And yet, sin continues to exist in the world, even through that flooding and washing of the world. Yes, we know that sin destroys our relationship with God. It brings his wrath and punishment down upon us. And it even destroys our relationships with others. And so we do have a problem with sin. We do need to be healed from it. Just as the paralytic, he too was born sinful. He too needs to be healed from that sinful condition. And that healing from sin is even a greater healing than being able to walk again. Those that heard Jesus, some of those that were the scribes, they were thinking to themselves, well, this man is blaspheming. He is speaking untruth. He is speaking words that only God is able to speak. Forgiveness of sins, only God can do that. Certainly not this Jesus of Nazareth. Matthew records that Jesus, well, he knew their thoughts. You might say that's part of his godly abilities to see what is going on around him, to understand men and women even better than we can understand ourselves. He knew their thoughts, and he addresses them. Why do you think evil in your hearts? Why are they saying that he is blaspheming? After all, you and I, Matthew, we understand that he is the Son of God. born of the Virgin Mary, sent to be our Savior, to redeem us from all of our sins. He is God incarnate in flesh and blood. Yes, he came to save us from our sins. And with the authority of God, he can indeed forgive. He is not blaspheming, and yet that is what they say of him. And to call God a liar, that certainly is evil. So he poses them a question. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? If he says, rise and walk, we should be able to see, if he has that power, what happens to that individual. That person should be able to rise up and walk. If he says your sins are forgiven, what change is there going to be that's visible? Generally, none. For forgiveness with God is something that you and I do not see in our flesh and blood. But if he tells that man to get up and to walk, well, that man should be able to get up and walk. So if, let's just, like I say, hypothetically, if somebody's going to say these two phrases, which is easier for them to say and have to have people believe and be able to back it up? Well, the one where you actually resolve, it gets resolved without any visible change, well, isn't that easier to say? Because, well, he said it, but is it actually true? Well, we don't know. We can believe it is, but there is no real proof to be seen. Now, if he says, get up and walk, and the man gets up and walks, well, then we have real proof. But if the man doesn't get up and walk, then we have proof that he's a fraud. So which is actually easier to say, the one where we are getting this proof or the one where we actually have no proof? That's what Jesus is asking them, and quite truly the answer is, well, people say a lot of things that there is no proof to, and you just kind of have to believe them. Those things that the proof is visible, well, those things are harder to say. Which is why then he continues and says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And then says to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And he rose and picked up his bed and he went home. There it is, their proof. I can heal people. This is what God has given me the ability to do. Don't doubt that God has also given to me the ability to heal from sins. Which is why the crowd is now afraid. Wow. God has even given him the power, he says, to do things that we are unable to see. And so they glorify God who had given such authority to men. And yet, it wasn't at this time that God gave that authority to men, but rather Jesus, in his ministry, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and so therefore, he tells the disciples that they have the ability, they have the authority to forgive sins in his name. And that's why we as a congregation have the opportunity to speak that we, yes, are sinful. We confess back to God what he has told us, that we are sinful and need forgiveness. And the pastor is able to speak to you words that Jesus spoke to this paralytic. Your sins are forgiven. Yes, the pastor is able to say those words to you because they are words that God has given to his church to speak to one another in his name, because he went to the cross. He came to heal us from all of our sins. And so you and I, we have forgiveness in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus does forgive sins. And for you and for me, we see that especially when we look to the cross. The cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where he died, where his blood was shed, making full atonement for the sins of the whole world. Each and every sin that you and I have committed, thought, word, and deed, Jesus died for, so that you would be made whole and restored. Yes, we have the wonderful message to share with the whole world that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Hear those words. When you receive the very body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as you partake in the sacrament of the altar, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Remember that when you are able to observe a child being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you are reminded that you too are a forgiven, baptized child of God. Yes, take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Be assured, each time you hear the pastor announce the absolution, proclaiming that in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. Take heart. Your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he knows you. He knows what you need most of all. He's got the right diagnosis. And he brings to you the forgiveness of your sins so that you may have life everlasting. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. The peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we continue and sing together the offertory. The gathered offerings are brought forward. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities,
and I will remember their sins no more.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Create in us clean hearts, O God, by the forgiveness of your Son, that we may put off the old ways of sin and walk in the way of his commandments. Lord, in your mercy. We glorify you, Lord God, that you have given such authority to men to forgive sins in the name of Jesus Christ, whose blood has made atonement for the sins of the world. Focus every word and deed of your ministers in the church towards this office of the keys, that the gospel may predominate in our worship and life together. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you call your children to put off the old man of sin daily and live together in the forgiveness of Christ. Fill our homes with your Holy Spirit. Leave no place for the devil, but work your righteousness and holiness among us. Lord, in your mercy, gracious Lord, you bestow healing on our bodies, above all, to show your power to forgive sins. Grant healing to Rick, Shirley, Glenn, Wayne, Linda, Tracy, Sue, Jane, and Colleen. Strengthen their faith in your sure word and of absolution. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, how awesome is this place, the very house of God and the gate of heaven. For there, here, according to his word, your Son is bodily present with us in the sacrament of the altar. Bring us in repentance and faith to eat and drink worthily at his supper this day. And through its forgiveness and healing, put off the old self and be renewed in true righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, your healing and forgiving are united in the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. Make us whole through the reception of his grace and spread it abroad for the comfort of those broken by this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person in the unity and substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom as you teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.